Hello, everybody. Frank Vespi here with theracingbiz.com on Off to the Races on the Racing Biz Radio. We are joined, as we were a week ago in this spot, by Derby Bill Watson, who's going to talk with us about the Belmont. Housekeeping note in advance of that, just wanted to thank a couple sponsors, particularly the Maryland Horse Breeders Association, Delaware Thoroughbred Horsemen's Association, Maryland Jockey Club, Facing Tipton Company, Virginia Equine Alliance, and the Virginia Thoroughbred Association, and the Maryland Horse Industry Board. Thanks so much for helping to make this podcast possible. Thanks to all of you for listening to it, and we'll see what Derby Bill has to say. Again, you're listening to Off to the Races on the Racing Biz Radio. Derby Bill Watson now in the house. Derby Bill, welcome.
Always a pleasure to visit you. I wish we were on Long Island this weekend on the railway reading the racing form on the way to the track.
Well, I guess we'll just have to read the racing form for our listening public here. We're going to go through the Belmont Stakes, grade one, 1.5 million Belmont Stakes, 1.5 miles, one trip around Big Sandy for three-year-olds. We're going to do that in a horse-by-horse sort of basis. But before we jump into the horse-by-horse, is there kind of a race overview? Is there a way you see this race playing out, Bill?
Well, as we faced Mother Nature all year, I see a thunderstorm about 5:30 to make exaggeratory start to drool before post time if that happens. But I see a no pace, as most people have seen. There's a rabbit in there. There's a couple of rabbits, but not the pace that you saw at the Preakness with Nyquist flying, trying to stay up front. So this is a typical Belmont race where nothing will happen until the turn for home, and then whoever's got some legs left will come in.
All right. Well, let's start from the inside then and go out. So the starting in the one hole is going to be Governor Malibu, the Christophe Clement trainee who won but was disqualified in the Tessio and then ran second, a good second, I thought, in the Peter Pan. What's your what are you looking at with Governor Malibu?
Yeah, you mentioned the horse for course here is the Peter Pan at Belmont Park. Solid second, and Peter Pan has produced some fine Belmont in the money fish finishing horses. And Christopher Clement got off the snide with a long shot here called Tonalist back in 2014. And this Malibu Moon Colt is going to be about the same odds, but I'm not giving him much of a chance there. I'm going to leave him out of the superfecta.
You're going to leave him out, okay.
He has early speed, but I think you need late speed in this race.
Okay, fair enough. The two horses, Destin, cleaned up in the Tampa Bay races, winning the Sam Davis and the Tampa Bay Derby. Ran an okay sixth after a little bit of trouble in the Kentucky Derby. He's going to have Javier Castellano riding for Todd Pletcher. What do you think about Destin in this spot?
He's destined to finish in the money here. I've got him in my top four easily. Broke his maiden at Belmont Park and did a multiple graded winning horse. Won the Tampa Bay Derby over Brody's Cause, who was also on the outside in this race. The dangerous Brody's Cause. And this Pletcher has targeted the Belmont for this horse, and piggy's bred by Giant Causeway, which means he can run a mile and a half, or he can run all the way down to New York City.
I think, too, going to something you were talking about a minute ago, lack of pace, this is a horse that, to me, figures to be involved in the early pace, which I think is going to be where you're going to want to be to win this race.
Yeah, he has to stay up. He's not a closer, so you're absolutely right on this horse. He needs to stay in the top four.
The three-horse, Cherry Wine, 8-1 on the morning line. The Dale Romans trainee is going to have Corey Lannery in the irons. He ran really well in the Preakness, rallying, coming from the clouds to pip Nyquist at the wire to get second, although beaten three lanes by Exaggerator. He's got a couple wins in his career and was also third in the grade one Bluegrass. Any interest in Cherry Wine?
And the Preakness cheer wine went up when this one nudged Nyquist to make the $317 superfecta pay anything, because the Nyquist finished second. I think I had $17, or actually I owed the track money if Cherry Wine didn't get up for a second there. Cherry Wine, Dale Roman's always dangerous, has all his horses ready here. This is a son of 2010 Virginia Derby, Patio Prado winner, and broke his maiden at Gulfstream Park. It closed fast at Pimlico, and try to outrun Nyquist was a mistake. Exaggerator, very capable in the mud here, but he couldn't. I don't think he would have caught Exaggerator at the Preakness if it rained 10 more inches. And very consistent horse there, and definitely improving in the graded stakes, and this one will be dangerous later in the year.
So when you say dangerous later in the year, should I assume that you're also saying not dangerous tomorrow?
I'm not using him tomorrow. I think he got a little tired from that sprint at the in the mud at the Preakness, and him and Exaggerator have some weary legs.
Gotcha. Okay, so the four-horse sudden breaking news for trainer Donnie Von Hamel, 10-1 morning line. Got Mike Smith in the irons, a guy who knows how to win a big race. This runner rallied to be second in the Arkansas Derby and then was, you know, a perfectly respectable fifth, beat 4 3/4 at Churchill Downs in the Kentucky Derby, son of Mineshaft. Strange news on this horse. I believe this is the one that was a gelding until they decided he wasn't really a gelding at all, but was a ridgeling. But regardless, he is 10-1 morning line. Are we using sudden breaking news?
Yes, we are. I love the way this horse closed to the Derby, flying late to pass, you know, tired horses, but he also was probably the strongest horse at the end of the Derby, except for Nyquist easing up at the end at the wire. This horse was flying and within a length of getting in, getting up and making the superfecta more dazzling than it has been in these Triple Crown races at the Derby. And well rested here. He is a deep closer who needs some pace, and that's the only fear I have is I don't get enough pace out of the rabbits, the one rabbit we have. And, you know, I hope there's enough pace for this horse to come flying late again to get part of the lucrative purse money. I mean, I think they pay eighth place $30,000 in this race. So there's a lot of reasons for these late closers to be passing horses at the end if eighth place pays $30,000.
For sure. Also, an interesting note here, Luis Quiñones had ridden this horse every prior start, but again, Mike Smith going to be in the iron Saturday. He's a guy who known to have some success with closers, including...
I think he knows the Belmont mile and a half very well, and that is not a downgrade at all, an upgrade for sure. The Hall of Fame Mike Smith will have this horse in position.
The five horse was all the talk of the Preakness, early Preakness day. Stradivari, he's 5-1 on the morning line for the Belmont Stakes. At the Preakness, somebody at Laurel Park put an $80,000 wager on this horse. So for a big chunk of the day, he was even money and even odds on in the early Preakness wagering. Ended up going off at exactly his morning line as it happened, which was 8-1. He was ranked early, got 4-6 wide, ended up fourth in the Preakness. Not a bad effort, particularly jumping up from allowance company to grade one stakes company. He's going to have Johnny Velasquez in the irons and is another who figures to be forwardly placed early. Are we interested in Stradivari at all?
Yes, I was the one that put in the $100,000 crab cake wager, and they my check bounced at the Preakness, so they couldn't get it in on Stradivari. Love this horse at the Preakness. The mud got to him a little bit at the, if I think, a dry surface, and he had a good chance of breaking the Todd Pletcher crab puff jinx. His Pletcher never wins the Preakness. Definitely a popular one's not a price I'm going to attack with this horse. The Preakness took a lot out of this horse, and I think he'll come back later in the year. Johnny V, capable. I mean, I wouldn't be stunned, but I'm not using him.
Okay, fair enough. That moves us to the six horse Gettysburg. Steve Asmussen trainee is 30-1. He was in the Todd Pletcher barn, but now shifts over to the Asmussen barn. Pioneer of the Nile colt cost $425,000 at auction. He is still eligible for a first level allowance. He was second in a Sunland Park Stakes, which is, I guess, his best effort to date. He's going to have Paco Lopez in the irons. What's going on here?
Wow, this is like the Civil War here with in this area with Gettysburg. This is like one of the line guys in the, that had to go up front in the battles of Gettysburg early. I mean, this one's got early speed and is a rabbit, but as many fell at Gettysburg, this horse will not be around at the mile and a half finish.
I assume, am I right about this, that he is here to create a pace for Creator to run at?
Exactly. A Hall of Fame inductee Steve Asmussen knows what he's doing. You bring in two for the big race and run a rabbit, and then to ensure the pace is healthy. And this one will ensure the pace is healthy because this one could probably run in the Met Mile, would be more appropriate, or even a 7 furlong race later in the year. You won't see this horse ever go more than a mile again.
All right. So that moves us on to the 7 horse. And Dallas Stewart has both the 7 and the 8. Oddly enough, they're both here. They're both 30-1, both owned by Charles Fipke. We appear to be tilting at Windmill. Seeking the Soul is the 7 horse. He just broke his maiden at Churchill Downs by a neck, going a flat mile, going to have Florent Giroux in the irons. Giroux had a big Saturday last week at Penn National, winning the Penn Mile and also the Mountain View Handicap. The 8 horse is Forever Doro. He's going to have Jose Ortiz in the irons. He also just broke his maiden going a mile on 16th at Belmont Park. One of these looks to, well, I don't know about that. Bill, what's happening with Seeking the Soul and Forever Doro?
Well, Dallas Stewart's been known to bring in a second-place horse in the Triple Crown race before. He's done it a couple times at huge prices, and this one, 30-1 on both of these, Seeking the Bird and Forever Doro, are clumped together in the 7 and 8 hole perfectly because the lines maker should, if you're allowed to set a line, I have both of these over 75-1. So I'm no threat from the 7 and 8 here. I just hope they don't get in the way of other horses. And Mr. Stewart enjoys the New York Strip party.
You are listening to the Off to the Races podcast on the Racing Biz Radio. Frank Vespi here. We're talking to Derby Bill Watson, and we're talking really the topic that everybody's talking about right now, the Grade 1 Belmont Stakes, which is Saturday in the early evening hours from Belmont Park. The 9 horse, Bill, Trojan Nation is, God, I hate this horse. He's still a maiden. He ran actually pretty good second in a just dreadful renewal of the Grade 1 Wood Memorial. He was 80-1 that day. He got bet down to 40-1 in the Kentucky Derby, but he could have been 4 million to 1, and he finished 16th, beating 26 lengths. Pat Gallagher, trainee, going to have Aaron Grider in the irons. Again, still a maiden after 7 career starts. Is there any reason to think that's going to change Saturday?
No, and 7, Atlanta, it'd be like watching the Atlanta Braves play baseball this year, watching this horse. I hate to offend people, but 16th place in the Kentucky Derby because another horse did not finish and another one just gave up. And this one could have been – this one I would bet 4-5 to be possibly last in this race. If they set a race, someday they will, where you can bet last place in the Triple Crown races, this one would be 3-5.
I like it. All right, now we move on to the 10 horse. The 10 horse is Alani, 20-1 morning line. Horse is based in Japan, won a couple of races there, then in March went over to Dubai, won the Group 2 UAE Derby by 3/4 of a length. Then came to Churchill, where he was 9th in the Kentucky Derby. He was a closing 5th in the Preakness after being steadied in upper stretch. ran pretty well in the Preakness. He's been getting kind of a lot of, you know, buzz for a horse that really hadn't made much impact in the two races. He's kind of a quirky horse, and he figures to be running late. Is he going to be running fast enough to be a part of the Super?
Yukonataki. That is a key. That's a trainer, if my pronunciation's proper here. And Mayuri Masanaga. Love this horse in this race. This horse is targeted for this race. Used the first two races as a prep race. I think the Derby and the Preakness were both. He would have shipped him back to Japan if he didn't target the Belmont. This horse can run forever and ever. He ran from you know, from the shores of Tokyo to the mountains. He could run. This one's a monster upset selection by me, because I think we'll be visiting the Japanese House of State next week if this one wins at, oh, well, it probably won't get 20-1. I believe there's a lot of smart money thrown on this horse, and he goes down to about, you know, 18-1 here. But this horse can run forever and will be dangerous late in this race. Obviously distracted at the Kentucky Derby, and first, he's a Kentucky bred horse, so he's fine. This is a perfect setup, the perfect race for this horse.
Now, let me ask you this. Are you concerned at all, because this is a horse with just zero early speed, or at least he hadn't shown any in his two races over here. Are you concerned about that, that he's maybe too far back?
Yes. If I could speak Japanese, I would tell him to get out of the gate faster.
Okay.
How do you say that in Japanese? Can you get a translation for me?
I'll work on that, but I can't help you.
How do you like that? Is that pretty good?
Yeah, I'm going to go with no. I'm going to go with that's probably not how you say it in Japanese.
This is my monster upset of the Triple Crown. If, as you said, if he can stay up in the top five, this horse has a real legitimate chance to pull an editor's note and just smack somebody, although editor's note ran way behind until about a milepost.
Well, it certainly would be a big upset. It would also be notably quite an accomplishment for a horse who, you know, he ran in February in Tokyo, in March in Maidan, in May in Louisville, also in Baltimore, and now June in New York. This horse is a world traveler, so that would be quite a quite an accomplishment if you were able to get
money.
It's as
many frequent flyer miles as you do frequent driver miles.
Exactly right. Moving on, the 11 horse, Exaggerator. This horse ran second in the Kentucky Derby, then won the Preakness in a mild 5-2 upset. Also won the Grade 1 Santa Anita Derby earlier this year. Keith DeSormo, trainee, is going to have Kent DeSormo in the irons. Kent DeSormo checked into rehab following the Preakness for alcohol addiction. Will be out to ride in the Belmont. This guy has been, it just does nothing but run good races. The question for me with him is particularly the style he has adopted in his very best efforts, the Santa Anita Derby, Kentucky and Derby and the Preakness, has been a really a deep closing style. And in all three of those races, he's benefited from a hot pace that he was able to run into. Not likely to get that pace in this event. What do we think about Exaggerator, Bill?
Obviously, I'm not picking him to win the race with my comments earlier. Just think the horse might catch a little tired leg syndrome at a mile and a half after just ripping the slop and mud at Preakness and gutting one out at the Derby to get a monster performance there to get second through all the muck and bumping he had to go through to chase Nyquist. The horse has extended everything we've wanted out of this horse. Really have issues with Kent DeSormo in rehab after Baltimore. I mean, I've done rehab after Baltimore, but not, you know, don't have to get up and ride a thoroughbred. But, you know, I just question that at all. I just don't know if he's got his, you know, we remember Big Brown and the issues he had there and pulled up Big Brown. I mean, Kent could have been the all-time best jockey in history, possibly, if he didn't have these difficulties. So not using it against him. I mean, he's a great jockey, and he's capable of winning this race with a good horse. I'm just trying to beat him for price value, and I just think Exaggerator is just a little bit susceptible to the mile and a half, like most people are saying.
I think those are certainly fair points. He is the 9-5 favorite. The 12 horse is a little interesting to me, although he's yet another closer in a field full of closers, is Brody's Cause, Dale Roman's trainee, 20-1 on the morning line. He's going to have Luis Saez in the irons. Kind of an interesting horse who has never really recorded big numbers, you know, buyer wise. I think his career best is 91. For all that, this is a 2-time grade one winner. He won the Breeders' Futurity at Keeneland last October, won the Bluegrass also at Keeneland in April. Ran a good third in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile, just a couple lanes behind Nyquist, and also at Keeneland. And so maybe he's just a horse for the course. He did close in to be seventh in the Kentucky Derby after being 13th halfway through. Any interest in Brody's Cause, Bill?
Always an interest. Sometimes you get a 2-year-old that runs monster as a 2-year-old and comes back as a 3-year-old and just doesn't retaliate. Did, like as you mentioned, he defeated Exaggerator back in October of last year as a 2-year-old. So he's fully capable of the grade one status in the class part of it. I just don't know if he's ready to get back into it. Maybe Travers or by then he'll get ready. Maybe the Haskell or the Travers, he can get his motor running a little bit more. A lot of people will jump on this horse if he goes 20-1, but I'm staying off him one more race. I might wait for the Haskell for him.
Gotcha. Okay, and that gets us to our final horse in the 13-horse Belmont Stakes field, the 13 Creator, another Steve Asmussen trainee, 10-1. He's got a rabbit in Gettysburg to give him some pace to run at. He's going to have Irod Ortiz in the irons. Irod Ortiz makes New York his home, so he certainly knows his way around Belmont. This runner won the Arkansas Derby, closing from the clouds, from last, in fact, to win, going away by a length of a quarter. But really kind of, you know, had some traffic and whatnot in the Kentucky Derby, but never involved, finished 13th in that race. It is a jockey switch from Ricardo Santana to Irod Ortiz. How do we feel about this $440,000 tap at Colt, Bill?
Well, when you win the Arkansas Derby, you light up through your eyes for the Triple Crown, and this one did. But in that race, it was a total speed breakdown at the end here, and he definitely took advantage of that to slide into an Arkansas Derby that hasn't produced much this year on the Triple Crown. To me, Irod Ortiz up the third best jockey in New York right now and rides regularly at Belmont is a plus. There are pluses on this horse. Obviously, he's named after God. I mean, you know, how can you go against that? I mean, but 10-1 and from the 13 post. The post means nothing at the Belmont, as most people know. Inside, outside, doesn't matter where you start as long as you don't ram into somebody. Plenty of time and time to make your moves. And Creator's a dangerous horse. I just didn't get him to squeeze in maybe fifth, but not I get a check because they pay 1-8 to the owners.
But yeah, but not to the bettors.
No, to the people that really matter, the gamblers, he's out of my pick four.
All right, so let's wrap up here with your – so what is your – where does your Belmont top four end up? It looks like Lonnie on top.
Absolutely ends up at the IRS office. Lonnie, Destin, Sudden Break. Lonnie's 20-1 or more, hopefully. Destin's 6-1 or more. Sudden Breaking News, hopefully 10-1. And then Exaggerator bringing the IRS from 4,000 down to about 2,000.
So 10-2-4-11 superfecta for Derby Bill and just hammering
yeah,
Lonnie.
The gamblers are loving this race. Everybody's loving this race. It's the best. We haven't had a favorite never wins at Belmont. What is it? We've had three favorites in the last 20 years win, Point Given and Rags to Riches, and there's one more. Three out of the last 20 Belmont. So
yeah, Pharaoh.
You know, the gamble. I'm sorry?
American Pharaoh last year.
Yeah, I mean, how did I forget that? But it didn't pay much. My point was, you know, the three favorites that won in the last 20 years are more typical of the Preakness than the Belmont. The Belmont is a gambler's paradise here with, 11 stakes races today and Saturday. I mean, just This one is more for the gamblers than the Triple Crown people that won't tune in because of the lack of the Triple Crown.
Gotcha. Okay. Any final thoughts? Is there a horizontal wager you're going to be making in Talani?
Sort of like the 1.5 million guaranteed pick four. I mean, the pick five and the pick six are lucrative also on this weekend, but it's easier. Pick four is obviously mathematically at the Mahelan College brain block, easier to hit the pick four. Plus, a 1.5 million guarantee is not guaranteed in any other Triple Crown race. So I tried to pick four. I tried to pick four yesterday and hit it for, his favorite Bodie's, Bodie Meister's kid, and a bunch of little bit chalky, but it's, this one won't be chalky. So if you can hit the IRS will be pounding my door if it hit the pick four in the Belmont Stakes. I'm waiting for the scratches, and obviously the weather hopefully stays away till, about the Daltrey concert. The thunderstorm during the Daltrey concert about 7 o'clock.
All right, sounds good. Derby Bill Watson, thank you so much for sharing your Belmont observations with us.
Hopefully you can put all this confusion together for the podcast.
We do our best. Derby Bill Watson, thank you so much. You have been listening to Off to the Races on the Racing Biz Radio, our Belmont Stakes podcast. Have a good day and good luck at the windows, everyone.